The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, on this Pentecostal Sunday, we're so grateful for the gift of your Spirit, which comes and fills us, empowers us, and is making all things new. We ask that you would be present in this time, and that you would illumine this word for the glory and honor of your name. Amen. Fear of going out, uncertainty as to what the future holds, desperation to get back to our summer routines, hopeful that things will return to normal. These are some of the feelings that you might be experiencing or have experienced amidst this global pandemic. At least I know I have at one stage or another. Now, these experiences and feelings are not new just to 2020. I want to tell you about a man who was also under a shelter-in-place order, but a long time ago. His environment was not one of a global pandemic, but it was intimidating and fear-laced because of the recent actions of certain people. The governor hadn't ordered people to remain in homes, but this man's highest authority recently had ordered him to remain in an upper room until some certain things changed. He was hopeful. Not that the future would be COVID-free, but that he was hopeful that God would bring about his kingdom soon in remarkable and transformative ways. Who is this mystery man? Well, it's the Apostle Peter. Even amidst the uncertainty of life, Peter knew the power and presence of God. He was eager to be part of God's plan because he knew Jesus was alive, he had ascended, and was still working in the world. Peter wanted to be in on the action, no matter the current season of life. Likewise, I don't know about you, but I'm also looking for ways to join in with God's plan in this season. I've been asking myself the question, how am I to live as part of God's story amidst a global pandemic and the uncertainty that comes from that? And maybe that's not just me. Maybe you've been asking that as well. Our text this morning, Acts 2, offers some helpful clues, though, in answering this question. The passage teaches that we are included, directed, and empowered when it comes to God's story in uncertain times. We are included in God's plan for the world, directed to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and empowered through deep companionship with the Spirit. Again, we are included, directed, and empowered. And just like we are brought up into this story, so was Peter. So let's first talk about how we are included in God's plan. Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit were not random acts simply tossed into God's story. Throughout the Old Testament, there is a consistent thread of the coming of God's Holy Spirit. Moses himself in Numbers 11:20 cries out, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets and that the Spirit of the Lord would put his Spirit on them." It was not just Moses. Joel 2, which is the passage that's quoted in our Acts 2 passage this morning, states, "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh." Mind you, the book of Joel was written at least 400 years before this Pentecost experience. So when the apostles go to Jerusalem and are told to wait for the Spirit, and then the Spirit actually falls with fire and fills them, it shouldn't come as a surprise to us. This has been part of the plan all the way since the beginning. God has planned for all types of people to receive his Spirit, including young and old, rich and poor, male and female, all locations of the world. This plan, therefore, includes you, it includes me, and it included Peter. Let's look at Peter's life for a moment. Peter had ordinary, humble beginnings as a fisherman from Galilee, a backwater region in the Roman Empire. Born into a fishing family and not smart enough to make it into modern divinity school, Peter spent his days performing ordinary work, like throwing nets into the Sea of Galilee, cleaning boats and fish day in and day out. And when Jesus does include Peter in his work on earth, it seems like Peter simply cannot get his act together. Although Peter is adamant about following Jesus, he keeps missing the mark time and time again. Jesus even rebukes Peter for speaking the words of the devil. Peter falls asleep in Jesus' critical hour. He even cuts off someone's ear. More importantly, though, he denies Jesus out of his fear of retribution from the ruling Jewish power. And he abandons him in his moment of need. And yet, even with all of this happening, the Spirit still falls on Peter during Pentecost. So no matter where you are spiritually at this time, no matter what you've done in the past, if Peter can be included in God's story, so can you. You don't have to have a perfect history, the Ivy League education, spiritual fervor, or righteous track record. Even if you've been running from God for a very long time, God still wants to give you his Spirit. He's had you particularly and individually in mind, and he wants to catch you up into this extraordinary story. Now, some of you listening today are already followers of Jesus. The majority of you are, and you've already received the Holy Spirit. You already know that you've been included in this plan. However, God has done this for a reason. What might that reason be? You are included so that you might be directed to proclaim that Jesus is Lord to those who are in need of that in the midst of this global pandemic. Pentecost is an intensely audible experience. The words sound, saying, hear, and hearing are used in almost every verse in Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Pentecost centers around an auditory experience, and the climactic event is everyone hearing the mighty works of God in their own language. Not only that, but I also want you to pay attention to Peter in the second half of Acts chapter 2. In Acts 2, verse 14, Peter says, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give ear to my words." Notice that Peter directs people to his words. Again, in Acts 2, 41, verses 40 to 41, it says, "And with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, 'Save yourself from this crooked generation.' So those who received his word were baptized, and they were added that day about 3,000 souls." 3,000 people were able to repent and receive God's Spirit because of Peter's clear proclamation through the use of words. Proclamation accomplished God's plan. This should challenge us because telling others about Jesus in this season cannot and should not simply happen just through neighborly good deeds, like bringing groceries or making meals for friends. We, as the people of God, are directed to offer a clear explanation of the mighty works of God as displayed through Jesus Christ. That Jesus was foretold in the Old Testament, that he was born a sinless life and died the death we deserved in order that we might be made right with God. That after he died on the cross, he was raised by the Father and ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. When we share this message, every listener should walk away, one, knowing that they're loved, but also, as Acts 2 states, that everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus is the Lord who offers salvation and hope amidst the uncertainty of a global pandemic. And when people believe this, not only do they receive hope, but they are saved and receive God's Spirit. God's plan for all types of people to receive his Spirit is accomplished through clear, explicit gospel proclamation. Even amidst COVID-19, your job is to still declare that Jesus is Lord over the uncertainty of our times. This hasn't changed because of a virus. This isn't new because of a virus. This is the same reality that Jesus is Lord yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And it's your job for the world to know that this is true in this season when they are desperate for hope and good news. So who might you be directed to share a word of truth with in this season of confusion? Can you finally have that conversation with the person who cuts your hair? Who needs hope in this season? Maybe it's a coworker who's asking questions in light of the real fragility of life due to this virus. Maybe it's a family member starting to ask questions amidst this fearful season. God has you on mission, right here, right now, to serve as his voice. God wants to partner with you to bring about his plan for these people to receive his Spirit. Many of us, when we hear this, though, say, yeah, that's true, but sharing my faith directly and explicitly, that's not my spiritual gift. Let the preacher do the preaching. I'll just send a link that he can watch the Sunday sermon. Well, my friends, Peter shows that you can't get off that easy. If Peter, who abandoned, betrayed, and at one point didn't even claim to know Jesus, can end up sharing the good news, so can you. Now, what caused this transformation in Peter, though? He goes from doing all these lackluster actions to standing up and boldly proclaiming the story of Jesus to 3,000 people, not a small group of people that he knows well. So what took this coward, who was unable to even affirm his connection to Jesus at one point, and made him a courageous hero of the faith? This empowerment comes through deep companionship with the Spirit. And this brings us to our final point today. This empowerment comes through deep companionship with the Spirit. This point is so utterly obvious, but it's important to state it so that it's cemented within your imagination. Peter receives what? The Holy Spirit during Pentecost. Between chapters 1 and 2 of Acts, the word Spirit is used 10 times. It's the gift of the Spirit that took this fearful man who was hiding in a room and turned him into a man who was willing to stand up and proclaim the mighty works of God to 3,000 people. And God didn't tell Peter that he had to do this, nor did he force this change with rules or penalties. Nowhere in the text does it say that God commanded Peter to stand up and preach. Instead, Peter's organic growth naturally happens because of the workings of the Spirit. He responds because of his newfound deep companionship with the Spirit. Peter's proclamation was directed by the Spirit, inspired by the Spirit. And as readers today who still affirm the Holy Spirit's work and presence within us in the community, this is both freeing and entirely terrifying at the same time. It's freeing because sharing our faith is no longer tied to a legalistic or oppressive obligation. We often think that if we don't share our faith, we aren't good Christians. Peter reveals this isn't how God works, though, after the coming of the Holy Spirit. And while, yes, we are directed to declare that Jesus is Lord to this world, which is desperately in need for it, the actual workings out of this are rooted in waiting for the Spirit and faithfully responding to his promptings as to when and how to do this. Legalistic obligations have never and will never work. The whole Old Testament is a test case that reveals how external rules and obligations can't change hearts, motivations, or desires. God knows he had to empower us with himself, his Holy Spirit, to accomplish his plan. If we have to discern when to preach the gospel on our own, there would be a crushing sense of responsibility that would paralyze us and might even make us feel like we want to give up the whole ordeal entirely. It might make us feel guilty because in the back of our mind during every conversation with a friend, neighbor, or coworker, we might be thinking, oh, is God expecting me to share the gospel in this conversation? Instead, now with the gift of the Spirit, we are freed up to trust God and let Him guide us in a beautifully freeing and relational way. We are motivated to share with joy and excitement when the Spirit opens doors for us. Lately, with this stay-at-home orders, my wife Paige has encouraged us to sit on our porch more and engage with our neighbors on a more frequent basis, those that are across the street or walking on the sidewalk. And you know, during this season, we've had some interactions with the people around us in a way that almost quadruple the amount that we've had up to this point. And in this season, it's led to some Spirit-prompted conversations with people in which we've been able to encourage them and drop hints of hope and truth and about the name of Jesus and why it's good to follow Him. Following the Spirit's lead in this way is also terrifying because, well, it's the Holy Spirit of the living God, and you cannot control Him. If you read further in the Bible after the story of Pentecost, God uses Spirit-filled people in an all-encompassing way. The Spirit prompts the disciples and the apostles to travel throughout the world. The Spirit's leading can result in immense sacrifice and hardship. Trusting the Spirit doesn't lead to a comfortable life. Instead, it leads to a good one that's God-driven, purpose-filled, and rooted within the companionship of God through the Spirit. This leads us to ask some tough questions. Are you training yourself to respond to the Holy Spirit? Or more often than not, do you simply ignore His promptings? Do you know how to discern the voice of God? Do you know how to discern it as different from your flesh or the desires of the world? God does some dramatic displays in His story, but more often than not, He comes in the small moments of quiet and intimacy with Him. He is active in doing things like prompting song lyrics to pop into our mind to get across a certain idea, granting aha moments in conversations with friends, spiritual directors, or mentors. He comes through scriptural truths from His word, cutting us to our emotional core, or in the form of prompts to reach out to certain friends who we haven't thought of after a long period of time. He comes in the emotional invitations to stop and care for someone who's standing on the side of the road, or nudges to share certain aspects of our faith, like a verse or an encouraging word with friends or family. Are you willing to say yes to the Spirit, no matter the cost? If not, why not? God isn't a tyrant. He's not going to force you to do these things. He's a gentle Father who speaks tenderly and is patiently waiting for you to engage with Him when you're ready. Since it's relational, there isn't a formula. Empowerment occurs through intentional time, investing and diligently honing our spiritual senses. It's dynamic. And it's organic. It's dynamic in that God can prompt us to live and act in a variety of ways on multiple occasions throughout the day. In one moment, the Spirit might bring to mind a scripture and prompt us to share it with a certain person. And then in the next moment, He might offer an invitation to donate a large sum of money to a nonprofit organization during good work during this COVID pandemic. And it's also organic, and that these promptings occur naturally and more frequently the longer we walk with Jesus day in and day out. The more connected we are to God through His Spirit, the more our day will be imprinted by His relational presence and promptings. With Peter, while Peter's change happened under extraordinary circumstances, this seems to be less the norm. Growth and awareness develop more slowly as we are rooted in a community, More on that, and this leads to our last observation that might serve as a source of comfort, especially if all that we've talked about still feels too daunting in this season. Preaching and discerning works of the Spirit do not just happen in isolation. It occurs within the context of a faith community. Notice that Peter does all of these extraordinary things not by himself. He isn't by himself throughout the whole story of Acts. The other apostles and disciples are with him throughout it all. When Pentecost arrives, Peter, along with his friends, were gathered in the upper room. When Peter stood up to preach to the 1,000 people in Jerusalem, verse 14 says that Peter was standing up with the 11. When the people are looking for answers, they go not only to Peter, but to the other disciples that are with him. Our empowering companionship with the Spirit, yes, is honed individually, but it's also encouraged within the context of our faith community. This is why, as you've seen in John's video this week, that in the season ahead, we are encouraging smaller communities. Smaller communities offer spaces in which missional mindedness and creative proclamation can bloom in safe, supportive, and creative ways. Holy Trinity recently kicked off a food drive for some of our local ministry partners. This initiative happened because a small group desired to serve amidst this global pandemic. They were not forced to do this or encouraged by the Holy Trinity staff, but rather, this vision was an organic fruit that bloomed because of their relational intimacy with the Spirit, both personally and communally. If you're looking for something like this, I'd encourage you to reach out to Kendra Dillingham and think about joining one of these new things that we're rolling out called Summer Huddles. These groups are small communities of people looking to begin exploring deeper relational connections with others at Holy Trinity, the benefit of which, beyond newfound friendships, could be a deeper awareness of the Spirit. And like Peter, this could lead to transformation. Even in this season, friends, of a global pandemic, when we are questioning how should we live, know that we are included, directed, and empowered when it comes to God's story and in certain times. We are included in God's plan, we are directed to proclaim that Jesus is Lord, and we are empowered to share God's story through the deep companionship that comes with the Spirit. God is still on the move in the midst of this global pandemic, and you still have a part to play. Let the Spirit guide you into this relational work, trusting that Jesus is still Lord and King over our context. Trust the dynamic promptings and the freedom that comes through the empowerment of the Spirit. This is our way forward with God amidst the unknowns of this season. Holy Trinity family, let's lean in and step up. Would you please pray with me as we close? Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the invitation to share your plan with those who are in desperate need of hope and healing. Lord, we ask that you would increase our awareness of your spiritual promptings, that we might share the hope that's within us and the good news that those who are far off can be drawn near. Thank you for this gift of the Spirit, which empowers all of this work. May we live more faithfully. May we live more fully. Father, help us lean in. Father, help us step up. Amen.